This is Anderson Penn's podcast, episode 73 for Tuesday, October 15th, 2013. This is Brian.
This is Lisa.
This is the Anderson Penn's radio network.
Ink it up, baby!
I'm going to get a soundbite of Hugh doing that, I think.
Yeah, I think we should get Hugh to do it.
We should.
He's got that deep, booming voice.
Maybe we should just have him on the show again.
I think we should share the love.
Oh, well, we should.
We're going to, aren't we? Soon.
I hope so. I have not heard back from our next guest.
Ooh, so, our secret special guest.
Our secret special guest. So my apologies to everyone today for not getting this up and broadcasted on time. It was a grueling 2 days of the JOB. And, well, here we are.
Yeah, you had a rough couple days. And we're on the mend. Man, that flu thing took me down hard.
Oh, man, yeah. Absolutely. I'm feeling much better. And don't ever think something as simple as a Windows update is simple because, completely blew up an entire server yesterday doing Windows updates.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty impressive that you can blow up a server remotely.
Well, you know, and the thing is I was just helping. I was not.
I see. It's the last time they're going to ask you for help.
I was not the head system administrator on this project, and I ended up being the system administrator on this project. So.
Well, you blow it up, you fix it.
Well, you know, I wasn't fully responsible.
Yeah, whatever.
All the while today I'm trying to fix this stupid thing. I'm every once in a while I'm having fun with my little whammy. Well, it's not really little, but my 2000 with the oblique broad, oblique broad nib and the Noodler's four screen, which I don't usually use a lot of Noodler's inks, but the four screen is really pretty. So
four screen, Ottoman Azure.
Yep. Yeah, those
Apache
two.
Apache Sunset.
So.
I'm getting into orange.
Are you?
Yeah, okay. I am. It's kind of scary.
Well, you can get it to a Sailor. Well, Sailor doesn't really have an orange. It's more about the peach.
Oh, the apricot.
Apricot, yeah.
Apricot is gorgeous. Yep.
So,
but
I don't know.
We'll talk about Sailor in a minute.
We will. Yeah, I have a bottle on my desk. It's a vintage 1940s bottle. And I'm just totally doing this off the cuff here. Really, really cool. These cool deco bottles.
I love those.
Yeah, with the metal caps. They got the nice stripes on the side. I've had this on my desk for quite some time. It's a regular 2 ounce bottle. I've used it for just, you know, for testing pens. And I put like a kind of a watered down Aurora Black in there because it's easy to clean. And I just decided this week enough was enough, and I switched it out, and now I have a modern Parker. I've switched from black to quink blue.
Oh, there you go.
So, yeah, really a lovely color. I've never actually used it before. I quite like it, so that's my new testing ink of choice. I try to stick to all the safe colors.
I go for Sailor... Diamine.
We got some Ackerman.
I love my Ackerman. We got in some new Diamine you haven't seen yet.
Oh, boy.
Yep. So some of those are pretty.
Okay.
All right.
Living on the wild side. Yeah, I know. Parker Blue. Really wild, right? Aziza, you stop by sometime and you'll see my really wild collection. You know, here's one right here.
Just come see the wall of ink. We'll be good.
Wall of ink, yeah.
I always seem to be the one to announce the sad stuff, so it's like every other week. It's kind
this of this is really really scary. not a good year.
No, we lost another friend in the pen community quite suddenly. Elaine Maddox passed away. We saw that on Facebook, and she was. I don't remember how old she was. She wasn't all that old.
Yeah, I don't know.
I haven't heard all the details, but those of you who knew Elaine Maddox, she was Very knowledgeable, very active on the boards, super sweet lady, super friendly, and she will be missed.
Yep.
So that was...
Yeah, she always had some... I was friends with her on Facebook, and she always had really... posted some really, really cool pictures and stuff.
Yep.
Neat quotes and things, but...
Yeah, so...
Okay, now I'm just going to say this once. People stop dying. It's just really...
Yeah, too much. All right, so let's try to perk up from that.
Okay.
You will be missed.
Yeah. I got something in the mail this week.
You did. I was a little surprised. I won't go
so,
with unhappy, but
you weren't
surprised.
Unhappy. Come on. It was. It wasn't that expensive. And you know, once a month I get that
well,
silly
you used
email.
Your, you know, $1.15 eBay bucks or whatever.
Yeah, it was $1.70. Come on, you know. So $1.70 eBay buck, which was it totally happened after the fact. I totally forgot about it, but I love it when you have the eBay bucks and you win something. And it automatically just shows up. So you're right. Getting ready to pay, and poof, there you go. It's already less. So I got this, and I saw it, you know, and the price is right, and I don't have it, so I have to have it, right?
Yeah.
And I get it, and I don't know what it is.
Neither, you know, I hate to sound, I don't want to say bragging, but... It's rare when we come across something that neither one of us has ever seen before. We together have handled a lot of Esterbrooks in the last 15 years. Mm-hmm. And ephemera and catalogs and desk sets, Brian especially with zillions of desk sets. And neither one of us had ever seen this particular item before, so it was kind of cool. And like Brian said, we did have to get it because we wanted to figure out what it was.
Well, you know, and it was less than the cost of, you know, two glasses of wine out, you know. So,
hey, two glasses of wine the other night was quite lovely.
It was, but the cost of three bottles of wine.
Anyway,
that's all right. So I got it, you know, and actually before the podcast, I checked because I have a very interesting original. Picture of an Esterbrook employee who is assembling pens. She's putting the nibs in the sections and doing all that. And I thought that's maybe, yeah, I know, the picture's awesome. I really want to get it framed, but it's you know, in fact, actually on, I think, where is it, not Amazon, there's somewhere online that actually sells reprints of this particular print, and I have the original, which is just dumb.
Cool.
So I check anyway, and enough teasing here. So I get this in the mail. All right, so it's a black tray, and it's about, I don't know, it's 9.5 inches long, 5 inches deep, or wide, and like an inch deep. But then it has these two things in the middle here.
Two dividers,
yeah. And it says Esterbrook in nice and in white on the bottom. And I don't know what the heck it's for.
Well, it's a tray.
But it's not like a... Thank you so much for that.
Captain Obvious. That's me.
So I don't know if it's missing something. It doesn't look like it's missing something. And I don't know if is it designed... Is it a factory thing, or unfortunately, I don't. You know.
If it was designed for a retail store, it probably would have had
slots.
Some kind of padding or slots.
Yeah.
It wouldn't
just
have
everything
jostling around.
A repair tray, but if it's a repair tray, why would they go through the trouble of putting their name on it?
I don't know. It's kind of cool.
I mean, I don't know. Has anybody ever seen one of these? This is just a weird, weird thing. And it's I like it. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but it's it's just, I don't know. I mean, it's clearly it's an Esterbrook product, so I don't know. It doesn't have any numbers on it anywhere.
I thought that if it were to be if it was intended to be like a retail display or something, it would have had some kind of felt or flocking or something.
Or it would have a number on the bottom. You know, like the boxes have a number. You know, so you can order it in the catalog.
I don't know.
You know, and it doesn't. And it's not. It's too weird. I mean, you know, you can't put boxes in it. It's just. It's not.
No, and you wouldn't stand nibs up or anything like that. So, yeah, it's kind of cool. I don't know what we're going to do with it. It's probably going to join that big mess behind Brian on the built-in.
It's going to go in the big black hole that is the Esterbrook collection, I guess.
There you go.
A tray for big ice cubes is one of the suggestions. I don't know what it is. Ice cream, maybe? I don't know. I'm thinking it was maybe some kind of parts thing, but I've seen some of the original Esterbrook parts containers, and they're more defined.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know.
We have it now. It's cool.
We have it, yeah. And well, here's the funny thing about this. So,
okay, what's the funny thing?
What's funny is that this was on eBay and it did not sell the first time.
Oh.
And the asking price was a whopping $9.
Ooh.
So maybe I'm the fool here. I don't know. So.
You might be.
It might be. So, maybe that leads into our next topic, which we've discussed before, but I don't know how long ago it was.
Research.
and how important research is.
Absolutely.
What's the saying? I'm sorry. We didn't rehearse this in advance.
What's saying? I have a whole lot of sayings. Most of them involve, don't buy that.
Don't buy
that. Doesn't have a nib.
Make sure it has a nib, right? Oh, there we go. Hugh says it's an Esterbrook pen holder for the vet.
Yeah. I like brownie pan better.
Brownie pan, yeah. Okay. I guess, you know, maybe they had the lock on the, you know, you get those brownie pans where it's all crust.
Oh, I love those. Now I'm hungry. Darn it. All right, so.
No, the saying I'm referring to is buy the book before the pen.
Yes. Yeah, so, we didn't rehearse that.
We didn't rehearse that, which is fine. We don't really rehearse much these days.
No. Research is huge. It's so, so important. And not to be done necessarily on the internet. I mean, the internet's great. Love the internet.
Well, yeah. There are certain sites that are appropriate for research.
There are. But when it comes to pen research, there really is not much that I can think of that replaces a well-written book.
That's true.
And it's nice to have the hard copy book in your hand, and you can hold the pen that you just snagged off of eBay and compare it to the book, or you buy the book so that you are better educated and so that you are a more informed consumer. You know, some of the people in our community who've written these books have dedicated, you know, years of research and spent a whole lot of money on the pens and the ephemera to collect all of this data.
Yes. So, the fact that they've taken the time and effort to share that is awesome.
Yeah.
So, but I remember when I was first starting out, I'd hear that saying all the time, you know, buy the book before the pen. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, well, you know.
But I want
like
a pen.
What? Yeah, all right. There's like what? Like three books under $50, period?
There are more.
There are more, but, you know, so, okay, so a lot of them are in that $80 to $100 range. Well, for $80 to $100, I can buy, you know, three Esterbrooks. You know, I can buy three,
four
pens.
But when you want to branch out from an Esterbrook to a Parker 51, to something in Waterman, you know, the Waterman numbering system confuses a lot of people.
Well, they didn't do themselves any favors, but.
No, they didn't, because it's confusing. But the point is,
1917, 1918.
The buying a book about a brand of pens or a model of pens, if it's something that you think you want to collect, it's absolutely worth the investment. And they're gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful pictures. We buy books every chance we get, pen books, and snag them at shows. It's also really cool if you can get one at a show and have the author sign it.
Yeah, yeah. So where do you start?
With whatever catches your eye.
Okay. Here's where most people should start. Where did I start? I don't have that book.
All right. What do we recommend that people should start with?
Here's the book everybody should, if you don't have a book and you're going to buy a book, this is the first book you should buy, absolutely without question. Right here, Paul Arano's Fountain Pens, Past and Present Identification and Value Guide.
Is that the one we're in?
If you turn back here onto page 284, you see this lovely, lovely spread of Esterbrooks here.
It actually has a really funny story behind it.
Okay, so, all right. There's 6, 7, 8, 9.
The point is, it's 14. A phenomenal book.
Yes.
It phenomenal covers book. A broad range.
And it's $20. Yeah. Or $25, I'm sorry.
Awesome. That's
a good price. Yeah. So, you know, sometimes you can find these Pentrace Marketplace or FPN. You can find it for $20, $18. And your point about, I picked this up a few years ago, and I had Paul Arano sign it for me.
You know, that's cool.
Yeah.
You had him sign it right there in front of you, and, you know, that's kind of fun.
Yeah, and Paul actually does, he's kind of known for his little drawings.
Yeah. So
got a little pen guy there.
So. I mean, that's totally original.
Yeah. So this the one you want to buy here, let me just to clarify this specifically. This is the second edition, the second printing. Okay, that's the one you want to get.
Paul Arano. I like the first one.
Yeah, Paul Arano is the name of the author, the second printing. And why the second printing? Okay, so this book started. Okay, now Paul had the first edition.
It's an ego thing.
It's not an ego thing. It's not an ego thing. Paul had the first edition printed. I don't remember when. Quite a while ago. In fact, if I open it up, it probably says when he had the first edition printed. But anyway,
the pictures were taken in 03.
Yeah, but he printed this book before then, because in 2003. When Lisa and I first met in Chicago at the Chicago Pen Show, he was working on his second edition of the book, which is what we have here. And so he had a number of pictures taken, and he perused my collection, Lisa's collection of information, pens that we had at the time, for inclusion into
separately.
The book. Separately, yes.
Separately.
Yes.
Yeah, it's important.
So, it's very important. So, you know, as things progress during the show, he's having the pictures taken, and Lisa and I are sitting, standing next to each other in line, waiting to get our pens photographed. And when the book comes out on page 284,
some of these are Brian's pens, some of these are my pens.
It says on the first printing, from the collection of Lisa Haynes. So I'm all excited, like, oh my goodness, the book's out, my pens are in the book, oh my goodness, I've hit Oops. The big, I don't know, whatever. I open it up and there they are, and I look at them, I look at them in my case, and I go, you know, there's a unique marbling pattern, that's my right. pen, and it didn't say my name, so
I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
I had nothing to do with that, I swear.
The second printing was corrected, so that's what you want, but that's what you can get. Great, great, great book. Yep.
And a fantastic price. Awesome yeah. coffee table.
Hardbound, yeah, great pictures. It has vintage advertisements in it. Yep. Some really cool stuff. This is the first book you should get, absolutely.
Yep.
So there's that. The second book, let's do, how about this? Now, these books are getting hard to find, but there is a trilogy here. And these are the books by David Shepard and Dan Zasov.
And, yep.
Dan's our good friend from Chicago. He
One of the Chicago Pen Show organizers.
Right, right. And he's been awfully busy the last 2 years. He always seems to come in late. He's got a partner meeting for his law firm, always at the last minute. So David Shepard and Dan Zinsoff put a trilogy of books out, and they are astounding.
Yep, they're awesome.
They're really awesome. They're big. They're beefy. Very informative. This is a Parker Duofold, 362 pages. Fantastic. It's got everything you ever wanted to know about the Duofold. Prototypes, documents, advertising.
Beautiful color pictures.
Yeah. Lots of cool stuff in here. You have a question about Duofold? This is the book right here.
Yep.
You can't get any more information than that. Followed up by, actually, I'm not sure in which order these are printed. I think this one may have been printed first, but I'm not 100% sure. The Vacuumatic book. This one's hardcover. The Duofold book is a soft cover. This one is, again, 345 pages.
That's huge.
And it's got in everything.
It's one of the Harry Potter books.
Yeah, so, you know, if you've ever gotten caught up in this, well, it's a slender maxima, long, thin, demi, whatever, two-band, whatever. This book right here. This is co-authored David Shepard, Dan Zinsoff, and Jeffrey Parker.
Yep.
So, in collaboration with the Parker Pen Company. So, you got a question about a Parker Vacuumatic. This is the book.
That's right? Your book.
That's the book, right? Okay. And then the third in the series, David and Mark Shepard, this time, the Parker 51 book. Now, this one's a little bit slimmer book, 167-ish pages, hardbound, but it's got everything you want to know about the Parker 51 in here, pretty much. They're all laid out exactly the same, too. I mean, so they all have beautiful layout.
Beautiful pictures. Color pictures, which is what you want.
Yep. Yeah, the differences between all the colors in the 51s, the difference between Nassau green and navy gray.
Don't ask. I have a difference now.
I wish we'd have this book when we went to that antique sale, and we thought we saw a Nassau green 51.
And it was navy gray.
It was navy gray, and we paid
the Nassau green price.
Well, not quite, but very close, anyway. Right?
But some of these books, you know, you read about different colors, or you hear about, you know, what's an Empire cap, or what's the Rainbow cap look like?
Yeah, it's got all the caps in it.
You know, or you find one, let's say on eBay or at a show or at an antique mall, and you don't know what it is. You've never seen this particular pattern of engraving on a cap, but you don't know if it's uncommon or if it's kind of a standard thing. So to have the book and to be able to, you know, hold the pen up to the book, to the picture, and match it up, it helps so that you know whether or not you got a good deal. It helps when you want to have it appraised or you want to list it for your insurance. And also when you want to sell it, it's always better to have really good information.
And it's great reading at night.
Yeah.
These books, these three Parker books, are no longer in print,
so
you have to find them secondhand. They run about, 51 book isn't as much, but the other two are in the $80-$90 range.
Not, you know, the price of a coffee.
But, you know, I tell you what, you buy the book, and you save yourself from paying too much for a Vacuumatic. You think is it? Yeah, well, what do we pay for that thing? $125.
We won't go there.
About $75 too much.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, seriously, we paid probably $50 too much for this pen. We had no idea. It was funny because we made calls to, like, you know, Joel Hamilton. He's like, no.
And Mike Kirk.
All these people.
Not NASA.
You know, you buy that, you save yourself from making a bad mistake. And I should also note that in those three Parker books, the pictures are life size. So you want to know the difference between a slender maxima and a regular maxima and a major. You can literally take your pen and put it right up to it, and they give you the measurements.
Or you can measure it, and if you're looking on eBay and you see something, if there are measurements, you can look it up in the book and see what it is.
Right, right. So. Actually, you know, I realized I did have in the stack here the first book that I ever did buy. This is the
blue book?
It's not the... See, I never really understood what the blue book was, because there's like two.
Yeah, there's the old
one. Okay, there's the small... This is Fischler and Schneider. So
yep.
Stuart Schneider and George Fischler. FNS book, yeah. This is the... is this the second edition? Yeah, this is the revised second edition.
One of the original books, one of the...
Yeah, this is...
One of the books
still
a lot
this.
Of us
can,
cut our teeth on 15 years ago.
Yeah, copyright 1994, which doesn't sound that bad, but in the pen world, this is one of the first ones. And you can still find this in bookstores and online. The first edition, I believe, was blue, but I don't think that's technically considered the blue book, is it?
I don't think so, but I thought the blue book was also an FNS book.
It is, and I believe I have the blue book right in front of me.
Ooh.
We'll get to that in a second. This is a pretty good book. This is a good starter book. It's got in the front, it's got some history of some of the pen companies: Schaefer, Swan, Chilton, Mont Blanc, Eagle, Conklin, you know, stuff like that. And then some good pictures.
It gave a good overall bit of information.
Yes.
I certainly wouldn't say that it focused on any one thing. It covered the big four and some of the little stuff in between.
Yeah,
but it wasn't deep.
What's interesting about this, and this actually brings up an interesting topic, is this book actually has values in it.
From back then, yes.
From back 94, yeah.
Yes.
So let's see if I can find one, just so you can see how ridiculous prices have changed here. Although some of them aren't too far off the mark. Now remember, back in the 80s and in early 90s, prices were just
crazy.
Actually, these are about what they are now. Parker 51, 35 to 45 bucks. Standard Vacumatic, 75, 90. Yeah, so these are pretty good. I thought there was some in here that were just a little bit off the mark, but
wow.
But still, okay. The point is don't ever. Most books don't have prices, and for one reason is because they're outdated 30 days after they're printed.
Right. You got one or two more?
Yeah, I do have one or two more. I'll quickly go through. I think this is the blue book.
Fountain pens and I think so. Yeah.
This is Fischler and Schneider. This is the big one. This thing you could.
Yep.
You know, like you could
hurt
somebody
with
this book. Yeah.
Again, though, a gorgeous coffee table book.
Yes.
And
300
know, again,
plus pages.
Full size pictures, right? Are they full size?
No, not necessarily. These are more artistic.
Oh, okay.
You can kind of see them. But they do have values in them, which is even funnier because that's that. What else? I'm gonna briefly go through the rest of the ones on my desk. Now, there are a number of books out there that are, I'm going to have an avalanche on my desk here, that are very specific to different manufacturers. Here's one here on Aurora pens. Very, very
Love
hard
it.
To find. Very hard to find. You know, not many pages, less than 100 pages, but, you know, go find another one, right? There's no other books about Aurora pens.
I think I should write one.
You should.
And it starts out, I love you.
Love you
Aurora.
This one here, if you've ever heard about people talk about
the book.
Here it is right here. Frank Dubiel's Fountain Pen, The Complete Guide to Repair and Restoration. Best 20 bucks, second best 20 bucks, because you know if you're into fountain pen repair, this is the best 20 bucks you're going to spend right here.
Although the interesting thing is that a lot of what Dubiel put in there was taken from other places, but it's a compilation of different instruction sheets and all of that.
Yeah, he has his own take on stuff, but
yep.
It's a great book. He was a character. Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
The current manual that every repairman should have is the Pen Repair The second edition, the Marshall and Oldfield book, excellent book, but it doesn't have everything in it, right? So nothing does, so you have to have more than one. Always have to have multiple books because you never know what you're going to need.
Exactly.
We could go on. There are books on maybe Todd. There are books on Conklin. Not Conklin. Actually, there was a book on Conklin's coming out in the Columbus show.
Yes.
Which I'm really excited about. I really want to see that.
Are we going to buy it?
Please. Of course we are. Conway Stewart. I'm probably missing seven other books.
Esterbrook.
Esterbrook, yeah. I don't know why I don't have the Hoban book.
Because I have mine. I keep it next to me.
Okay.
Because Frank Hoban autographed it for me, and I love
Paul
it.
Paul Hoban.
Or Paul Hoban, sorry.
Paul Hoban. Different Hoban.
Yeah.
I have my version of the Hoban book is the binding is completely worn off because I stuffed it full of, you know, printing things off the web, different pictures, and then, you know, before you knew it, the binding ripped off, and that was that. So, but that's just a kind of a little overview. Some of the books, it's important to, you know, you collect them and they're good for reading and good for research. So,
well, and websites come and go.
They do. Except for Esterbrook.net, which is never going away.
That's true. So, there you go.
All right. So I guess moving in with that that repair theme that we were just talking about, repair books, you know, there's been some – I thought this might be interesting to talk about. Last month, I've seen a number of threads recently on FPN and one on Reddit recently – about people inquiring on doing repair for profit.
Isn't that an oxymoron?
It is an oxymoron. See, you know, it sounds good in theory. You know, and I would never dissuade someone from doing it. But it's not, you know, it's not as easy as it seems.
I think that if you can sack a lever filler and, you know, buy a pen on eBay and put a new sack in it and make it work, that's awesome. I considered myself to be fairly proficient at resacking SDs and similar pens, but I never braved anything more. I was always afraid that I was going to break it, or if I got it apart, I couldn't put it back together, or worse, I'd put it back together, but I had extra parts.
Yeah. So, or you put it together and you realize you got one part in backwards.
Or it just doesn't work. And so to me, I always stayed with safe stuff, mm-hmm. but the concept of repairing fascinates me, but then I see you struggling or you know... When you get a pen in for repair, you don't know what's been done to it before it got to you. And a lot of people have done bad things to pens.
Yeah, I actually have a pen that's on its way for repair here that was super glued together a number of years ago. And so that's going to be real fun to see if we can get that apart. But yeah, you have to do your inspection. You just don't know. And the other thing is You can't just repair lever fillers. I mean, I guess you can, but you know, eventually you got to start pouring money into parts and tools, and
tools are expensive.
Yeah,
and hard to find.
This guy right here, and we've got three of these. I don't know why we have.
Ones.
I don't know why we have three. I like them. I'm like a magpie. Ooh, shiny.
Because every time one came up, we bought it because you never find them.
You never find these, yeah.
Three different ones, and they are slightly different.
Well, yeah, and actually...
Which is overkill. It's totally...
We got this one first, and this is the most beautiful, I think, of the three. This is the Stettler Niblock.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. It's a high chrome polish.
That sucker's heavy.
It's heavy, yeah. But then, you know, we were taking it to shows, and I thought, well, that's just ridiculous. So we got another one.
Just in case that one got stolen, or
the Ian Williamson block, which is beautiful, which is actually even heavier because it doesn't have these slots in it, but it's chamfered on the edge. It's really nice. So we got that, and then what was it? about 6 months ago.
A good friend of ours was unloading some of his stuff and got in touch with me. So we ended up with a Modestia block.
The Modestia block, which is pretty much like this, except this goes the other way. But these things are expensive. I mean, they're ridiculously expensive, but they were made in less than 100 of them. In our good friend Joel Hamilton has a theory on tools. Every tool is going to cost you $250.
Or more.
Or more. And as you get into it, you come to find that's kind of the truth. You will pay $250 for a good tool.
Because so books are cheaper.
Books are cheaper. See, we haven't talked about a single pen in the show.
We will.
So anyway, So I mean, it can be done. You just have to understand that it's not something you can dive into and expect to. It takes time.
Well, the other problem is it's one thing to buy a pen on eBay, let's say an Estabrook, and you try to resack it, and you try to take the section out, and you jog it a little bit, and you crack the barrel. Okay, so whatever it is that you paid for it,
right,
you're out that $20 or whatever.
$10, you still have some parts.
If it's someone else's pen,
mm-hmm.
and things do happen, then you have a problem because you have to replace that, or you have to pay for this pen that you didn't fix, but you broke it.
You got to come up with a part, and usually when a part breaks, that's the part you can never find.
Yeah.
That's going to be your gray blind cap for a PFM 2 or 1. I've been looking for a gray blind cap. I mean, that's for my pen, but, you can't find the dang things.
Yep.
So you have to understand that, like we just had a customer's pen in, was her grandfather's pen, and it turned out beautifully. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Beautiful looking pen. Yeah, but you have to, be really careful with that kind of stuff.
And, accidents do happen, and then what do you do? There was a guy, I don't know if he still posts, but I won't mention names, but there was a guy on one of the boards who would offer his repair services, but he had kind of a disclaimer and said that if you broke your pen, he would send it back to you and wouldn't charge you shipping.
No, I think you did have to pay shipping, actually. He would only charge you shipping.
Oh, well, yeah. All right, but still.
So, but still, he's letting his disclaimer right out there. But
Well, that's fine, but so just be careful. And if you can sack a pen and you're pretty confident with it, awesome. But before you start hanging out a shingle, practice on a couple hundred pens.
Right, you're better off buying pens low, selling high.
Yep. Then
repairing somebody else's pens. I mean, that's the best way to start. And you have to understand too you have to know retail in wholesale values.
Yep.
Because you can't buy an Estabrook for $30, resack it, and try to expect to make any money.
Right.
I mean, yeah, you can, but your time is worth something, and exactly. The tools that you bought to repair that pen are cost you something. So.
But if you can do your own repairs, that's a wonderful thing. You save yourself some money, and you could buy, let's say, a lot of 4 pens, keep one, fix up the other 3, and sell them, and eventually your pen that you kept is free.
You subsidize your costs, and that's how a lot of people start. But I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. It came up twice, like in the course of a month, and I thought, well, that's an interesting topic. We should maybe talk about it. So, we could elaborate more, but I think that kind of hits.
I think we're good.
I think it's good on
that. We're good. Go slow and practice on your own stuff.
Yep.
So,
we got anything new on the website? Not much. Seems like it was just yesterday we had a podcast.
I know. I don't know that we've put all that much up on the website, but we will in the next week or so. We got in a boatload of boxes today. Oh my God, that poor UPS lady must hate me. She's just bringing boxes.
Does she do this every time she comes? She flexes her muscles.
No, I give her a hard time though. We're definitely going to give her like a big Christmas present, cookies or I don't know, something. Boatloads of diamine. We finally got restocked. I mean, hundreds of pounds of ink arrived today.
Yeah, we don't really have a lobby anymore. It's just boxes, yeah. And stuff. So.
And so we restocked on almost everything, a couple things they were out of, plus a couple new colors that we didn't have before. So that'll be fun.
Well, I'm interested to hear this when we get off the podcast.
Hope pink and umber. Hope pink and umber and scarlet and a couple others that we didn't have. Surprisingly. Hope pink, huh? Yeah. Yep. And blaze orange.
I can't see using a pink ink. I just, you know.
Well, some people like it.
Okay.
Also blaze got orange. In a big box from my heart pounds, Sailor.
Oh, you're gonna show me what we got in. Did you get my Riallo?
We got pens. I'm hiding them. Just saying. We got in a bunch of pens, so we are slowly expanding our Sailor offerings, and so that'll be fun. Yes, we are going to be.
Well, we got. I think we should end the podcast now because we're going to go.
No.
We got to thank everyone.
Yep. No. And boatload of ink has been restocked from Sailor. I love that Sailor ink. So that's awesome.
Yeah, it's nice. I like the Epinard. Nice.
Yep. A couple other lines are in the works. Stuff's been ordered. I'm just waiting for it to ship. Some of these companies take forever. So, we order and we wait. You know, it's hurry up and wait. And then it seems to come in like one day. So it's chaos trying to get it all down to the pen room and labeled and organized and all that good stuff. But
we've been busy too. So
we have. Yeah. We did receive notification that a special something finally shipped. You want to mention that?
Did you get the tracking information today?
I don't have tracking, but
it was supposed to have shipped today.
Yes.
So, after a long to-do, the Franklin Kristoff O2 Intrinsics Anderson Pens edition has finally shipped.
From Franklin Kristoff.
From Franklin Kristoff. They will be here momentarily. We hope to have them before Friday.
Yes. In fact, I think we're going to try and deliver one.
We're going to hand deliver one in person.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have said that.
Why?
Well, you know, it'd have been a great surprise. Now it's not going to be a surprise.
You know, just making it there will be a surprise.
All right. So
yesterday I took the car in. And we've been talking about this for a while and kind of decided that this was something we needed to do after the big auction debacle when when Brian brought back his...
What was a debacle? I got everything in the car.
If I had gone with you, I couldn't have come back.
But you didn't come with me, so therefore everything was fine.
Thank God. So anyway, the point is... Brian filled the SUV with huge display cases that he fell in love with. And we'd been talking about, you know, if we had a trailer, if we had a hitch. So I went and had a hitch installed on the car.
Yes!
So now we can haul cases. So now when we go to the Columbus show and somebody has this huge case or, you know, boxes of pens.
Yeah, the heck with that. I'm talking big, big barrels.
Barrels.
Barrels full of pens. That's what I'm looking for.
Sort of like nibs. Walter White's barrels. Okay.
Yes.
So we had a hitch installed on the SUV, and then it occurred to us that someone had offered to sell us this. Thank you. On the roof. Yeah. This ginormous vintage case.
Oh, it's beautiful.
So,
it's beautiful. There's not too many like it.
Stupid cheap.
Well, yeah, they're all the big cases are stupid cheap.
Because nobody wants them.
Nobody wants them. They're too hard
to open. So we've rearranged the pen room a little bit, and there is one place it will fit. It's 5 feet 9 inches long.
And I'm like, what, 3'4" high?
Just stop right there for a minute. 5 feet 9 inches long. It's longer than I am tall. What the heck are we thinking?
I don't know.
So what are we doing? We're going to drive to Virginia.
Yeah. It's not like it's in Chicago or down the street.
No, I can handle
that.
We're going to drive to Virginia.
1,000 miles away. Exactly.
Drive to Virginia, pick up the U-Haul trailer, pick up the display case, stop off and see Hugh and Carol.
Woo!
Oh, my God. And come home.
It's a beautiful case.
In one weekend.
Big glass, glass front and top, etched. I believe it's etched glass. It says Parker on it. It's lighted. It works.
We'll have pictures when we come back.
It has all these drawers and stuff that pull out.
Putting it in the U-Haul trailer.
If we get it home in one piece, it's going to be a freaking miracle.
Oh, we're bringing boatloads of blankets and bubble wrap and you name it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's beyond awesome. It's
it is. It's a gorgeous case. But
so for everybody listening, this is what happens when you start collecting pens. Before you know it, it's, you know, it's pens, it's books, it's...
It's your Christmas present.
Expensive tool. It's my Christmas present.
No.
No?
I just found the pens I bought for you. I opened up this box. I was getting ready to throw it out, and inside...
You were getting ready to throw it? You were not.
I was going to use it to ship something overseas.
Oh,
and I opened
God.
It up, and there were these two pens in bubble wrap, and I just kind of looked at them like, oh, I got to hide those. So, yep.
Somebody would have gotten a couple of nice pens.
Oh, yeah, the garbage man. But, yeah, so that's what we're doing this weekend.
It's going to be beautiful, though, driving down to Virginia...
Yep.
Or over to
with
down
the weather.
Over. With the weather. The weather's going to be nice. Trees changing. It's just going to be leaves falling and stuff. It's going to be really, really nice. So.
And, yeah, we're excited. It'll be fun. The guy who's selling it is a good friend of ours. And so we'll get to hang with him for a little bit. And then drive a little bit and meet Hugh and Carol.
We're not gonna foam inject the whole U-Haul. No.
And then antique our way home.
Oh yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, actually, no. We stand a chance this time because it's not a show, so they're not like 7,500 other people going to the same location on the same highway. So
that's true. That's
we
true.
We stand a chance.
When we go antiquing on the way to a show. Everybody's taking that same route, and it's already been picked clean.
Yeah, it's really weird. Like every time we go,
Sam and Frank.
Yeah, they always say Sam and Frank were here. they don't know who they are. They just say some couple Sam and Frank. They were here.
Yeah,
they bought everything.
Exactly.
Anyway, so that's just this weekend's little journey.
Jonathan's offering to stay in the trailer with it.
Oh, wow!
And that thump. You hear will be him absconding with our case. I'm telling you, this thing is huge.
It's huge. It's really big. In fact, it's so big. He's actually giving us a dolly to put it.
So we can get it out.
I hope it fits in the house, man. That's all I hope.
Yeah, that's a problem.
We're gonna start that. We're gonna move the pen room into the garage.
It's not big enough.
Well. my car can sit outside. I don't know.
Yes, anyway. That's the idea. So it'll be fun. It'll be interesting. I think the last time that I hauled a U-Haul trailer, it was on the back of my Chevette.
Now, I don't understand this. Now, you say this to me, and every time I have the same reaction, I'm like, okay, now anybody who's had a Chevette knows they're like, you know, 12 horsepower of goodness. They couldn't even pull their own weight. You know, if you had four people in the car, it was really a struggle. So you
moved
a hitch?
From Springfield, Illinois to St. Louis, Missouri, and
well, that was downhill. That's downhill.
I rented a U-Haul trailer, had U-Haul install a hitch on the back of my Chevette.
And were they laughing when they did it? Because that's just
we're laughing all the way to the bank. I don't care.
Apparently,
it worked.
Yeah. Wow. I want pictures.
It's fine. I don't have pictures. It was like 1989, 1990. But yes, a Chevette.
You know, we had Chevettes at the same time.
That's cool.
I had a Chevette in 89.
So there you go. But yeah, so that's what we're going to do, and we will have pictures of this huge case when we come back. And I don't know how we're going to get it into the house and how we're going to get it down there. We need one of those straps that you can buy like at Harbor Freight where it goes like over the shoulders so two people can lift something.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. Well, actually, the guy we're getting it from, he's bringing friends over, and he stressed plural friends.
Good.
More than one are coming over. I mean, you know, there's going to be like five of us to move this case. I don't know.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Or maybe we'll just keep the U-Haul trailer and I don't know. Just back that into the car, into the garage, but. Anyway, that's what we're going to do. We're excited, and we think it's just going to give us some flexibility if there are, you know, boxes and boxes of pens at a show. Our car's already full, so.
Cool.
Or maybe, how about a big lawn ornament? How about a big moose or something for the front yard?
How about a polar bear? We put a polar bear in the front yard.
We could put a polar bear. You just wheel that down the street.
I think so.
Yeah. So anyway.
All right. Well, we should wrap this up, I think.
We should.
Do we have any shout-outs this week? It's been kind of a quiet week so far.
You know, everybody in the chat.
Absolutely.
You guys rock. You guys are
Jonathan,
awesome.
Colburn, Ira, yep. You and Carol, Mary.
Yep.
Ziza, Jenny.
Where'd Tracy go?
I don't know.
All right. Well, you guys in the chat are awesome. You guys keep us laughing, and you guys keep
talking
things
about beer
going.
And pizza now. They're like on their own chapter.
Yeah, they are. Beer and pizza. Now I'm hungry. Anyway, that's it. We will have all sorts of exciting information for you next week.
Yeah. So keep watch our adventures on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow
so.
Us on Facebook. We'll check in, and you can see where we're at. And we're looking forward to some yummy Panera for breakfast.
Oh, yeah. So yep. And of course, visiting Hugh and Carol is always a good time. So I'll try to.
Oh yeah.
Them. I gotta start loading up some cool pens for the trip. So.
Right. I'm going to bring gloves.
You're going to bring gloves? Yeah, right. We don't have that on the list, actually. So.
No, we don't. So.
Anything else?
I think that's it.
Okay. Comments, suggestions for topics, use your pens. Write to us. Anderson Pens, P.O. Box 732, Anderson, Wisconsin. Appleton, Wisconsin, 54912.
That's a Freudian slip. That's Appleton, Wisconsin.
Appleton, Wisconsin, yeah. Anderson,
Wisconsin. Catch us online. You can send us an email.
Brian at AndersonPens.net.
Or Lisa at AndersonPens.net. What?
The chat is just killing me. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/AndersonPens.
Or check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/AndersonPens.
You already know about the blog, blog.andersonpens.net.
And the website is very simple, andersonpens.net.
Join our mailing list for advance notice of upcoming events, new products, special sales. Thank you very much for listening to our podcast. We will see you next week. Good night.
Bye, guys.